Praise God. Well, I'll just jump right into it. So I'm going to be finishing up today this little series we've been doing on preparing for or getting ready for eternal judgment. I mean, no, it's going to happen. So you might as well get ready for it. Amen. So, and I'm glad it's going to happen. It's a good thing. It's a really good thing that the Lord is accomplishing through it. I'm so grateful for it, and I'm looking forward to it, to be honest with you. I really am. And here's why I'm looking forward to it. It's because for the believer, today I want to focus specifically on the judgment of believers, okay? So I'm not talking about unbelievers today. I'm talking about the judgment of believers, and there's some people who mistakenly think that believers, we won't have to stand before Jesus as a judge, but that's just, not a biblical idea. We will stand before Jesus as a judge, and that is a good thing. Listen, if that's where you receive your praise and reward from the Lord for everything you did to live for Jesus during your lifetime, eternal rewards are real. Like, they're very real. They're tangible. They're not just, like, intangible things, you know, that's, they're things that really matter, that we'll really, really care about. And God is a rewarder. This is who he is. And he tells us over and over and again in the scriptures, he actually says, he's like, you know, do the right thing. And he tells us whatever the right thing is. And then he tells us the reward that will come for it. And it's a real reward. It's not, you know, when he says, I will not fail to reward, you know, every cup of cold water to you give to one of these little ones or something like that. Like, think about that. That's like a little thing. We do that all the time. Like, mothers and fathers, like, you know, your little kid, Ma, I need drink. I need milk. I need juice, whatever it is, right? And it's just part of your day. But the Lord's like, I see it. And what you're doing to that little one, I take it personally. It's like you're doing it for me. And he's like, I will reward you for every little cup of cold water that you give to one of these little ones. That's crazy. That's super generous. Like, aren't you glad he's keeping records? You're going to get rewarded for things that you forgot about long ago. Like, I just imagine standing before the Lord at the judgment, and he's like, oh, yeah. And then, remember this, when you did this? I'm like, oh, that was a thing to you? I'm like, that, wow. He's like, yes. And then there's, like, this awesome praise and honor and reward that comes from the Lord. And I'm like, man, I didn't even think about that as being a big deal. I mean, how many of us think when we get up with our kids, they're sick, and we care for them. We take them to the doctor. We're up with them at night. We're getting them whatever we get them to feel better when they're sick. He's like, yeah, whatever you do to one of these little ones, you're doing it to me. Like, it matters, and he's going to reward us for it. And the judge, for the believer, when we stand before Jesus as a judge and we give an account for our life, it's not just giving account for, like, where we should have done better. Although it will be an honest evaluation, those elements will be in there. But it will be like giving us praise, honor, and reward for everything that we did right. And that is going to be a good day. God's will for your judgment seat experience is to be one of great joy and reward, not one of agony, regret, and loss. And I think sometimes we get this picture of the judgment seat, we only look at one side of it. We look at the fear of the Lord side, which is real. And then what we do is we live in dread, like, oh no, not the judgment seat. Like, oh no. Like, that's when, like, I'm going to be publicly shamed and humiliated for all my secret sins in front of the whole, you know, everybody. And, you know, repent of your secret sins. Because that element of all the secret works being revealed is real. But listen, it's all your secret good works as well, which I'll get into. that he'll reward. So it's not just the, oh, I should have made better choices, or, oh, I have so much pain and regret. I mean, if we know that this is coming and we're intentional about finding out what God likes and do it, like, that would just be a great way to live. That's wisdom. Wait a minute. So, like, the only thing that matters is not what my parents or anybody else thinks about me. The only thing that matters is what you think about me. And my eternity will be affected by how you liked the way I lived. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open my Bible. I'm going to find out what you like, and I'm going to do a lot of it. And I'm going to find out what you don't like, and I'm not going to do that. And I'm just going to live in a way that pleases you and to receive the reward that comes from you. And I'm not going to be shaken and thrown off because so-and-so doesn't like it when I do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. I'm like, your opinion doesn't even matter. I'm doing it. I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for him. Right? And we just stay steady, and we don't get disappointed because it's like, oh, my goodness, I'm suffering in this life even though I'm living for Jesus, because we're like, hey, the reward's coming. The reward's coming. Amen? It's so important. He says this. Jesus said, well, I'm just going to go on. I'm not going to get on tangents. So, Jude, verse 24. Listen to this. I love this. To him who is able to keep you from falling. This is God, right? That's the him we're talking about. To God who, do you know that he's able to keep you from falling away? Just stop right there. That has literally encouraged me. Like, I pull this verse out many times. And I just say, God, I thank you. I mean, I know me. I know my, I don't have any confidence. I don't have confidence in myself to not fall away from the Lord, to not commit some sin that just brings dishonor to Jesus and a lot of pain and all that kind of stuff. Like, I don't have confidence. I know me. But I do have confidence in the Lord. That, man, if you'll just help me stay humble, if you'll help me to just live in the fear of the Lord, if you'll help me, I believe that you are able to keep me from falling away. And I actually get this verse out and I claim it. Like, God, you are able to keep me from falling. I don't trust myself, but I do trust you. You are able to keep me from falling. And it says this, not only is he able to keep me from falling, but he is able to present you before his glorious presence. That's at the judgment. That's at that final judgment. He's able to get you to the final judgment, having not fallen away, and to get you standing before his glorious presence, his throne at the final judgment. Here it is, without fault. Whoa. Now, come on. Wouldn't you look forward to him evaluating your life if you knew, I got it, there's something without fault? How is that possible? It's called grace. It's called when you repent of your sin. Like, I think of it like a ledger, right? And you got all your deficits on this column, which are many. And all your deposits, your righteousness on this column, which is zero. It's not going to be a good day when the day of account, we have to give an account, right? But then what happens is we give our lives to the Lord. He deletes the entire negative deficit column. And he puts all of his credits in our column of deposits. That's an amazing gift. That's called justification. But then we walk with the Lord, right? And we got sin in our life and there's stuff there. But here's the deal. When you repent of it, it's deleted. And it doesn't just get deleted. At the same time he deletes the sin because you repented of it, he actually puts a credit in the righteousness column because he's like, that was a righteous work that you, when I convicted you, you turned from the sin. You repented. You confessed it to me. Good job. I'm going to give you credit for that. So it's not just that we don't get the negative. We actually get a positive because we repent. That's how he's able to get you to the judgment seat without fault. So I'm not worried about when the Holy Spirit reveals sin in my life. My concern is that I make sure that I'm responsive when he does. Because he's working for me. He's like, I got this thing. I'm really excited about these rewards. And I want to get you all the way to the finish line, the judgment seat, without any fault and with great joy. I want that day to be a happy day. It's supposed to be a day of rejoicing. You know, and I want to stand before him on the day. I could just imagine being like, oh, Lord, you know, I'm just trying to have integrity here. You forgot to bring up this and this and this that I did, this sin. And he's like, no, we already talked about that. Talked about it 25 years ago, right after it happened. Remember when you repented of that? It's over. No need to talk about it anymore. In fact, here's your credit, your reward for repenting. Good job coming to me on that one and not hiding in your shame. Do you believe that it is possible that this scripture is real and that he could get you? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit could get you to the judgment seat without falling away, but also without fault and have great joy? Why? Because all you're doing is sitting there delighting in the Lord, having received the inheritance of the kingdom. You get to live in it forever. At that point, you're secure. You're good. And receiving just honor and praise and reward, God just speaking to you about how much he appreciated every little thing that you did in his name. I think of the judgment seat of Christ, it's like the greatest exam you'll ever have in your entire life. I remember, you know how it is, like all of you have been in school before, you know what it's like when you have a big test coming up, right? And some of them, you know, some college classes are a little bit different. I know some of our college professors, you know, they give you lots of assignments and your grade is kind of this, somehow they figure it out between all the assignments you have plus your quizzes and tests and all the stuff. But every once in a while I'd have a few classes that it's like they don't really give a ton of assignments that they grade. But you just have like a few tests and your entire grade is based upon how you do on these big exams. And it's like, oh, my goodness, you know. And here's the truth. Here's what I learned much of the time when it comes to taking tests. What the test does is all it does is it reveals how you prepared ahead of time. So when I would do the right thing, which didn't always happen, I wasn't the greatest, most diligent student. Like, my wife was a good student. I wasn't the best. It may be true that there were certain classes that I had to retake many times in college. And anyway, three times. But she knows. She's got a ledger against me, but the Lord's ledger is all that matters. I've repented, but anyway. Philosophy. She's bringing it out. Lord, see how I'm persecuted. I'm just kidding. The Lord's got our back. He can cover that. Anyway. So, but when I'd study and I knew the material, like I had prepared in advance because I'm like, the test is coming. I got to be ready. And I would actually look forward to taking the test because I'd get there. Number one, I'd be like, yep. And I just know the answers. And it was actually fun going through it. And I'm like, I'm dominating this test. I already know the grade. You don't even have to tell me. I already know. And when I received the report, I got an A. I'm like, yep, that's just confirmation. I already knew it before you even told me because I had prepared in advance and I knew the answers and I was ready, right? But I had a different emotion going into a big exam when I hadn't prepared. It's called like fear, anxiety, and dread. It's like the day of judgment is here. I'm about to be exposed for my laziness because the night before I could have studied, but then my friends were like, dude, we're all going to play basketball. I'm like, let's go play ball. I'll study later. Tons of coffee, stay up late. Never mind. I got tired. I fell asleep. Now it's test day. That's happened a few times. And so, and I'd have a different emotion. I'd be like, oh, Lord, have mercy. I don't deserve this. Lord, have mercy. And sometimes I'd actually get away with it. But there were times where it was just, I knew. I'm like, I'm dead. I don't know any of these. I'm guessing almost every single question. And when the grade came back, I'm like, I don't even want to know. Like, I already know it's going to be not good, right? And I think of the judgment seat of Christ, what it will do is it will reveal how we lived our life and prepared for that moment. Because if we really believe that that day is coming, like the scriptures say, and then the scriptures tell us how to prepare, how to live to prepare for it, and we do it, and then we have the grace of God, like everything's in our favor. So even when we mess up, even when we sin, we can like, what am I doing? The last month of my life, I've just been lazy. I haven't been reading my Bible. I've just been like doing this junk and like, well, no, I repent. Lord, forgive me. And then he's like, he takes that whole last month, delete. Like, what? That was awesome. Thank you, Lord, for your delete button. And then he gives credit in righteousness. And then it's just like, it's all rigged in our favor because of the blood of Jesus. If we'll take it seriously and live how the scriptures tell us to live in the fear of the Lord. Amen. So about the judgment of believers, I just want to give you three things, three aspects of the way you're living right now that will be evaluated on that day so you can prepare in advance to get rewards and instead of suffering loss. So number one, our works will be evaluated. Our works will be evaluated. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, now who's this? The letter to Corinth, the 2 Corinthians, is written by the Apostle Paul to who? Who's the audience? Yeah, not just people in Corinth, but who in Corinth? The church. He's writing to the church in Corinth. So this is who he's talking to. He's talking to believers, not to unbelievers. And he says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You see, it's not like believers, we're going to give an account for our life as well. So that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done, for our works, right? Done while in the body, whether good or bad. It's like our works will be evaluated by the Lord at the judgment seat. I just want to say this. For the believer, the judgment will not determine where we spend eternity, but it will determine how we spend eternity. Because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because we've turned from our life of rebellion against God, and we put our faith in Jesus, and our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. So for the believer, like this judgment isn't about where we're going to spend eternity. It's about how we're going to spend eternity, because the rewards we receive at the judgment will affect our life, our quality of life, forever after that. Now, we'll be in the kingdom of God. Let me just say this. No, this is important to distinguish. Nobody can work off their sins and earn their way into the kingdom of God. Nobody, can just say, from now on, I'm going to be a perfect person. And I'm going to earn my citizenship. You can't earn your citizenship into the kingdom of God. It's a gift that's bestowed by God when you choose to turn from your sin, believe the good news, and receive it by faith. Does that make sense? It's the gift of righteousness. No one can work their way into the kingdom. The blood of Jesus alone pays for our sins and grants us citizenship in God's kingdom. However, our works will be evaluated by God. And we will either receive rewards or suffer the loss of rewards that could have been ours based upon our works. And they will be evaluated. So what our works will be evaluated, what we did in our life, in private and in public. How many know God sees all your works? He sees you at 1 a.m. when you're alone in your room. And he sees you when you're in front of everybody. And it matters. Privately, publicly, all your works, God is going to evaluate them. You know what I like about that? Is when I know that's true, it helps me to be a man of integrity. Where I'm not somebody different in private than I am in public. But also, I'm not somebody different in public than I claim to be in private. It goes both ways. When you're not who you are in both places, it's called hypocrisy. And God sees right through it. He knows what's real, and he knows the heart. I'll get to that in a little bit. But he sees our works, and all our works at the judgment are secret and public sins that are not repented of. So they're still on the ledger there. And our secret and private works of righteousness will be revealed by the light of truth at the judgment, evaluated, and you will receive what is due you for that work. All of the works, all the secret and all the public works will be evaluated. Here's the truth. Every conversation I have with my wife in secret, I'm going to give an account to God for it. Nothing is really secret. Every text message, every social media post, I will give an account to God. All my works will be evaluated by the Lord. Everything I say in public, that's important, because sometimes people are like, no, I've actually heard this many times. I'm like, that's such a false belief. I've actually heard many times where people, they don't take a stand for Jesus publicly. And they just say, no, I don't confess my faith publicly. You know, my faith is a private thing between me and the Lord. I'm like, I think you should check out what your Lord said. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. But if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. Here's the deal. When you get engaged, how would you feel if your spouse is like, or the one you're engaged to is like, I love you in private, but I don't want anybody to know. Like, hey, we're going to enter into a covenant relationship. Either you love me or you don't. In private, you better love me in private when nobody's around. And you better love me when people are around. And if you're ashamed to love me, then I need to go find somebody who's not. It's marriage advice. Or not marriage advice, dating advice, I should say. But anyway, all our works will be revealed and evaluated by God. So even like, not just the bad things, but the good things that nobody sees. Secret prayer times. When you, listen, you felt like those moments when you felt like lashing out. And nobody sees it. And you had the words at the tip of your tongue. You had the adrenaline rush of anger and emotion. You were about to lash out at somebody. But then the Holy Spirit brings the thought to your mind, like, that's not the way of the Lord. And instead you hold your tongue. Your heart's pounding. You feel anger. You don't feel love. You don't feel righteous. But the Lord sees it and says, I see that. That was righteous. You were being tempted big time right now, but you're restraining yourself because you love my word. I'm going to bring that up. I'm going to reward you for that. Even when you don't feel it. How many of you know in those moments you feel like sometimes you just, afterward, you got to go process and like, God, forgive me for even being angry in my heart at this person. And you got to process and get the slime out of your system. But he's like, no, I saw you. That was a secret work of righteousness. Nobody knew what was going on the inside, but I saw it. And you know it, and I know it, and it matters to me. Thank you. You love me. That's how the Lord sees it. Every little secret work of righteousness he sees. The secret prayer times. Times when you were tempted. It's like you're tempted to give in to the sin. You're tempted to click on the wrong website. You're tempted to do it, and it's like nobody will know. It's like I'm alone. And you're just like, no. And you just like put your phone away and go to bed. Lord's like, I see that. And I'm going to reward you for that. I'm going to honor you for that. Because the Lord was tempted just like us in every way, but he was without sin. He's like, I know what it's like to be tempted. I know what it's like when your heart is pounding to go in this direction of sin and you restrain it even though you don't feel it because I love the Lord and that's not who I am. I want to honor the Lord. The Lord says, I'm going to reward you for that. Every secret thing that you do that people don't even appreciate you for, it's going to be evaluated on that day. There are righteous things we do now that people actually reprimand us for. Because we live in a sinful world that is does not love God and does not love his word. You take a stand for what's right now, and there will be people who will vilify you for it. They will publicly slander you for it. Lord's like, I got this. Don't worry. I will vindicate you, and I will make it right at the judgment. Don't you worry about it. I'm going to reward you for that. When we turn the other cheek, when somebody insults us, and we, instead of insulting them back, we're just like, nope, I'm going to turn the other cheek. When somebody curses us and is cruel, and you want to just respond back in the same way, but you restrain yourself, and instead, God, I forgive them. In your heart, I forgive them. And then when somebody asks you, man, what are you thinking about so-and-so, the way they said about you, and instead of like cursing them back, you say to that person, you know what, I love that person. I bless that person. I'm grateful for that person. And you just think of some way to bless them when they curse you. The Lord's like, oh, come on. That's beautiful. Give me more of that. That's gorgeous. You're going to be rewarded for that. Like so many little things. When you work up the courage to share the gospel with somebody and you're terrified and you're scared and you do it and you feel like your words just blundered and it wasn't very good and it wasn't smooth and you're like, oh, and they get mad and they don't respond right and they just get mad at you for sharing the gospel and you're like, gosh, I didn't even do a good job. I was so nervous. I don't even remember what I said and it was so like, I don't even know if it made sense. And the Lord's like, I see it. Good job. You did it for love. You didn't want to do it. You could have been a coward, but you didn't. Like every little thing will be rewarded. I remember, like, it's easy to forget stuff. It's easy to forget stuff that we did. I remember, like, even big stuff. I remember when we lived in Missouri at our church, there was, I remember one time there was a lady in our church. She had been in a horrible car accident. Like, her on the highway, she was driving. She went off the road. Her car rolled, like, seven times. She was in a wheelchair. I believe she could not walk. And I remember during worship service, I'm just worshiping the Lord, and she's in her chair there just worshiping the Lord. And I felt like the Lord told me to go and like that he wanted to heal her and to go up and to work with the Lord to see her healed. And I remember I was so scared. I was so nervous. I didn't want to do it. And I wrestled with the Lord internally for a little bit, but then finally, he did it. He prevailed, and I obeyed, and I was terrified, literally terrified when I went up, because he told me to do something that I don't usually recommend people do. Normally, I'd just go pray for someone, but this time, he specifically told me, I want you to go and take her hand and say, Jesus Christ heals you, and help her to her feet. And I'm like, no. Like, no. Like, I did not have the faith for that. And I'm just like, uh-uh. You know, and by the way, if you do that, you better be right. You better be right. Because you don't want to hurt somebody in the name of the Lord. And so you better, that happens, but you better be right. And I wrestled with the Lord. I'm like, no, I'll just go pray for her. And then I'll say, hey, how are you feeling? Do you want me to help you try and stand up and kind of do it that way? Which is normally how I'd recommend doing that, just saying for the record publicly. But he would not let it go. He's like, no, you got to do it this way. And I was like, ah. So finally I did. And I was so scared. I was not in, I had enough faith to obey, but I was not confident. And I walked up to her and I'm just like, hey, you know, like Jesus Christ heals you. And I took her hand, and I just started helping her up. And she stood up, and she was actually instantly healed. Like, for real. Like, she starts, it was a huge sanctuary. It's like probably four times the size of this room. And she's just walking laps around the sanctuary, just praising the Lord. I'm going, oh my goodness, it worked. I'm like, it actually worked. I'm like, thank you, God, you bailed me out. I was just happy she didn't fall down and break something. And I was happy that she was healed too. I was happy that I was actually right and it was God and not just me. All those emotions are going through. Do you know, like, that huge thing? That's not happened to me very much. I've prayed for lots of people for healing, but I forgot about that. Like, several years went by. I just forgot about it. Completely, you know, life goes on. I just forgot. And all of a sudden, this, like, she sends me years later. I'm living in Huron. She sends me a message on Messenger on Facebook. And she's like, hey, I remember when you came and I got healed. And she's still healed. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I can't believe I would forget about that. And I just think, like, if I would forget about that, how many little things did I do that the Lord's like, oh, you have lots that you forgot about, but I got it all in the books. So a lot of times we hear about at the judgment and the books were open. Everybody's like, no, not the books, not the books. But listen, if you've prepared in advance, you're like, yes, the books. I'm like, I'm looking forward to this. Like, remind me of how cool I was. Remind me of the awesomeness. You know, I forgot about it. We need to be encouraged by it. Amen. So anyway, okay. The rewards given at the judgment seat will range anywhere from, you know, having most of what you did in life, your works, burned up completely, like they had no eternal value, all the way to, you know, ruling and reigning right beside Christ. And I just want to read 1 Corinthians 3. The Apostle Paul's talking. He says, because of God's grace to me, he's talking about his ministry. I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. So anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. How many of you know some of those materials have better staying power than the others? But on the judgment day, here it is, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive what? Okay? Yes, a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer what? Great loss, right? The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flame. So he's talking about, like, you know, the foundation is there. You got somebody, they're a believer in Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. There is no other foundation. And then people come along to invest in your life and to build you up in the Lord. Let's talk about our ministry. And you can, the way you minister to people, the fire of the judgment will reveal if what you did had any eternal value or not. There's a lot of stuff that's done in the name of ministry that's not from the Holy Spirit. But the people doing it are genuine believers. And their works will be revealed at the judgment. You may have a pastor there, and he's like, dude, you had a church of 10,000 people. Everybody's like, oh my goodness, like, he's got to have huge rewards, right? That's just not how it works, by the way, the judgment at all. But it's possible that person is standing before the Lord, and it'll all be burned up. He says, yeah, you know, those 10,000 people you had attending, you didn't preach the gospel. You gave them a little fluff encouragement message that was, you know, 15-minute self-help message. You didn't build them up on the word. And so, you know what? They fell away. They were living in sin. And when temptation and trials came and all this, they didn't make it because you didn't teach them. You didn't disciple them according to my word. You didn't build them up according to my word. And they fell away. It could be like that for somebody you're discipling. Are you teaching them the scriptures? Are you teaching them to live a Sermon on the Mount lifestyle? Or do we just, you know, meet with people and it's like, there are people that I disciple sometimes where initially they don't really want the Lord. What they want is a friendship with me. And I want to be honest with them and tell them, like, that's not going to get you anywhere. You have to desire a friendship with Jesus. You have to desire the Lord. And I'll teach you how to walk with Jesus, and we'll have a friendship while we do it, right? We'll encourage each other and build one another up. But if you're not going to follow Jesus, I'm not going to give you this false illusion that because you meet with me regularly or Jeff is my friend, I'm getting you nowhere at the judgment. Does that make sense? And so we have to be intentional about how we're investing in people's lives. You know, you could run a business. You could, or you work. You do things at school. You're on a team and stuff like that. It's just, it's like your integrity will be evaluated. Were you honest? It could be like, hey, I made a ton of money. But at the judgment, it won't be about how much money you made. It'd be like, how did you treat people? Were you honest with them, or did you rip them off? Did you cut corners? Or did you do things with integrity and go the extra mile? Yeah, those things will be evaluated, and our works, we will either suffer loss, the fire of the judgment will test them to see if we built our lives, our works were built with hay. How many of you know when fire tests the quality of hay as a building material? Not going to be a good lasting thing. Hay's going to burn up fast. Wood, not very good. Fire will test it. Wood will burn up, right? But gold, it'd be purified, but it'd still be there, right? So our works will be evaluated. Number two, our words will be evaluated. Listen to this. Jesus said, I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day. Listen, for every idle word you speak. That includes social media, by the way. I think it would be, some people, it would be really wise if they get this understanding of the judgment day, that their words are going to be evaluated. I think it would be really wise to go back to their Facebook and go through the last 2 years of posts and delete every single thing that they want deleted off the record at the judgment. Say, Lord, forgive me for this one too. Delete. No, you're deleting it. We're good here. Lord, forgive me for this one. Delete. He deletes it. Just clean it up, right? I think that would be wise. But go back through your social media posts even. I mean, this would be a good exercise for some people. Are there things on there like, ooh, I like that one. That one, I'm not deleting that. Because I want him to bring that up. That was good. I was shining in love and righteousness there. We need to think about our words matter. We can speak words of death or words of life. Listen, words that stir up more dissension. Hello, Facebook. Or words that promote unity. Do you know what a breath of fresh air a person is who's a peacemaker? Words that encourage or words that discourage. Words that slander. Just because a report may be true doesn't mean it's your responsibility to spread it. Well, it's really true that that leader, that person really did do that and they really are bad. But who are you building up by sharing that? Are you praying for that person? Or are you just spreading? Are you just getting a microphone and holding up their slime to shame them for the world to see? I don't want to stand before Jesus with that on my record. I don't want to be the guy that shamed people. I want to be the one that heard the bad report and my heart was moved with compassion and I started interceding for them. God have mercy. God save them. They're going to stand before you, Lord. Help them, Jesus. We can speak words that cause others to stumble or words that strengthen others in righteousness. You want to be the kind of person that you just start saying flippant words of sin and unbelief that causes somebody else to fall away from the Lord? Or do you want to be the one that when somebody's weak and they're having a hard time, you speak those words of strength and faith and life that say, hey, you're going to be all right. Don't quit now. It's going to be worth it. Your reward is coming. Live for Jesus. You know what I mean? And you encourage them and you strengthen them. And then that person stands before the Lord and they haven't fallen away. And they're like, Lord, you kept me from falling away. And the Lord's like, and one of the ways I did it was I sent so-and-so to you at the right opportune moment to speak this word to you. Your words matter. At the judgment, our words will be evaluated. We can speak words that tear down or words that build up, words of faith or words of unbelief. Listen to this. This is like one of the best examples of this. Malachi chapter 3. God says to Israel, he says, he has a case against them. He's not happy at this moment with Israel when he writes this. He says, you have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. You know, if the Lord comes to you and says, I got an issue with you, you've said harsh things against me. And they're like, it catches them off guard. They're like, what? They're like, what have we said against you, Lord? He says, yet you ask, what have we said against you? The Lord says, verse 14, you have said it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper. That's a lie. And even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. You know what that translation, they're like, nobody really gets held accountable by God for their sin. So it's not, why put ourselves out to live for God? Like, all these people live in sin and they get away with it. They're going to get away with it. It's futile to do all this stuff to serve the Lord. It's not worth it. Doesn't really matter. Lord's like, you are saying very harsh things against me. Because what you're doing is you're calling God a liar because his word says otherwise. And then this is what he says. Listen to this. This is who you want to be. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. How many, you know, the Lord is an eavesdropper. He listens to every one of your conversations. Every conversation, he's right there listening. The Lord's like, oh, I'm listening. It says the Lord listened and heard as they talk with each other. And listen, a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence. It's that every word, he writes it down. He's like, oh, you're getting a reward for this one. I love that. It's what concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On verse 17, he says, on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them. Just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. I love this. This is such a great verse for the judgment. Hear this. You will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. You notice, this is so easy. This happens a lot. Two people are having a conversation together. One of them's feeling discouraged. And then all of a sudden they're like, you know what? It's hard right now. This is hard. There's believers being persecuted around the world. They're losing, their parents are being killed. Their brothers and sisters, their spouses, horrible things. And some may be like, it's futile. Why do we do it? Why do we put ourselves through this? It's not worth it. But the Lord hears, like, there's conversations all over the world where two believers are there, like, it's going to be worth it. He told us this stuff would happen to us if we follow him. This isn't a surprise. He told us this would happen, but he also told us that we would be rewarded. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you when people slander you and speak all kinds of false things against you and persecute you because of me. What does he say? Rejoice and be glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. And believers have these conversations. Remember that verse that the Lord said? I know we're in pain right now, but let's rejoice. Let's be glad. Great is our reward. And the Lord's eavesdropping on the conversation going, oh my goodness. Like, angel, write that down. I want every word recorded. We are absolutely going to talk about that on the day. Like, these things matter. These things matter. The words we speak matter. Number three, our motives will be evaluated at the judgment. I love this about the Lord. This is why humans, we don't have all knowledge. So it's hard to always get perfect justice when it's human beings dealing with it because we don't have all the facts sometimes or all the knowledge. But the Lord knows everything and he knows it rightly. And he doesn't only know the works we do, he knows the thoughts, the motives, the intentions of our heart that were motivating us why we do it. And that will be evaluated. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 4. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. He says, I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. He's like, I don't really even trust my own judgment of myself. But he says, my conscience is clear. That's a key. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. When is the appointed time? Wait until the Lord comes. When Jesus returns, we get our rewards. The judgment of believers takes place. What will he do? He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and expose the motives of the heart. Now, when he says what's hidden in darkness, he doesn't mean like sinful stuff. He's talking about what's hidden in the shadows that only God sees and nobody else sees. He brings it out into the light where it's made evident. At that time, listen to this, each will receive what? Their praise from God. Because he rewards secret motives that are pure. Let me give you some examples, okay? There will be people at the judgment whose works appear righteous in the eyes of men, yet whose motives will be revealed at the judgment as impure in the eyes of God. And they won't receive a reward for that work because their motive was self-seeking instead of love. Let me give you some examples. The Pharisees in Jesus' day were very outwardly religious and appeared righteous in the eyes of people, right? Yet, they were condemned by Jesus as being inwardly rotten. They would pray these lengthy prayers in public, and people would be looking at them like, oh my goodness, listen to the theological depth, the eloquence of their prayers. This is such a godly man. Yet the Lord sees the heart. They're just doing it for show. They're doing it not because they love me and they're crying out to God from the heart. They're doing it because they want to put on a show and they want you to think how righteous they are. Then the Lord says, you already got, that's your reward. Okay. Motives matter. Politicians, famous actors, athletes are applauded for giving to charity. But God will reveal whether they gave to be praised by others, to gain some benefit from it. Because if they have a good reputation in the eyes of others, their product sells more and they make more money. Or because if they have a good reputation in the eyes of others and they go and do some charity thing, make sure the cameras are here. We got it all scheduled. The media shows up at this time. I show up at this time. They got the cameras rolling. I give the act of charity. I take the picture with the guy in the wheelchair. Like, are they doing it for love? Or are they doing it to get something for themselves? Motives matter. And we get rewarded for pure motives, love, and the fear of the Lord. But we don't get rewarded when our motives are self-seeking. A pastor may work tirelessly to build his church because he was zealous for God and he loved the people, or because he wanted to impress people and make a name for himself. Truth will be revealed. Honestly, you may think one thing about me. You may think one thing about Autumn. Good, bad, somewhere in between. But the truth is, the Lord knows what the Lord knows our hearts. Whether we've done something out of love for the Lord and for people, or if we did things self-seeking. And we can't always make that judgment. Because we don't see the inner workings of a person's heart sometimes. So we can't make those evaluations. But Jesus knows them, and he will reveal the motives of the heart at the judgment. And we will receive rewards or suffer the loss of rewards that could have been ours based upon motives. You guys get it? Okay. An evangelist may share a video of themselves sharing the gospel or healing the sick to glorify God for what he did, and to encourage others in their faith. That's good, right? I've seen lots of videos like this healing happens or this person just boldly shares the gospel and God moves and it's like it inspires me. And that may be the motive of their heart for sharing it and they get reward from the Lord for it, right? At the judgment. Or they may be doing it to make a name for themselves. No reward at the judgment. Not only that, you know, the video, Lord's like, yeah, like you were doing that for you. You got your reward. You're done. That wasn't love. You know, God knows the heart. And you can't just say, well, everybody who's doing that is doing it for selfish reasons. Maybe, maybe not. The Lord knows. And what matters is for us, always we want to say, God, give me grace. Paul said, I don't even judge myself. I don't even know how to always get it right in the motives of my heart. It's hard to know sometimes, but it's good to ask the Lord to help you because the Holy Spirit will help you. Say, God, help me have pure motives. Or ask yourself the question, why am I doing this? That's the why question is really helpful. Holy Spirit, help, why am I doing this? Now, some people, they'll be like, well, if I can't do something with pure motives, I'm just not going to do it at all. And I would, you know, like, they'll say, well, I'm just not going to share the gospel because I don't want to do it just to get credit and glory from other people. I'm like, well, you still have to share the gospel, but just repent of the wrong motive and do it for the right reasons. Does that make sense? It's like some people use this as an excuse. Don't use it as an excuse. You still got to have righteous works. You still got to do what God says to do, but you just want to check your heart, check your motives, and et cetera. Let me go on. A parent may discipline their children to appease watching critical people. How many have ever felt that pressure? I have. Your kid's acting up, and you know, you can feel the stare of everybody in the plane around you or everybody in the church or everybody in the meeting you're at or whatever it is. And you're like, I better do something so these people don't think I'm one of those parents who just never do anything and never discipline my kids. And it's like, I could discipline and my motive of my heart is to impress the people. No reward. Or I could discipline my children because I genuinely love, from a heart of, I love my child, and I want to train them in righteousness. It's motive, right? It affects every area of our life. I mean, you do something nice for your spouse. Do you do something nice for their spouse because you want something back? Or do you just do it because I love you? No strings attached. Yeah, all these things matter. I remember one time, well, let me just say this. There will also be people at the judgment whose motives will be judged as evil in the sight of others, yet revealed as pure in the eyes of God. I mean, sometimes people, not sometimes, all the, like lots of times people judge our motives. And they throw out accusations at you that you're a bad, mean-hearted person. I mean, and think about this. In the Bible, do you guys remember David? Little David. When he shows up to the battle lines, Goliath is mocking the armies of God. The whole army of God is in fear. And David hears it, and he's motivated by zeal for the Lord. He's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? It's like, the Lord's with us. Let's go. He's mocking our God. Let's go take care of this guy. The Lord is with us. And his brothers, his own brothers, flesh and blood brothers, are upset at him, and they start accusing him for having bad motives. They're like, you're so full of pride. You're here to show off and act like you're a big shot. We're the trained soldiers, and you think you're better than all of us, and you can just show up doing that. And they actually accuse him as having an evil motive. But the Lord reveals his motives were pure. Your motives, the brothers, are the ones who are not only in fear, but jealousy and all this kind of stuff. You can't always go by what you see now. The judgment will set the record straight for every single person. As we head into the age to come, the final judgment will set the record straight. There will be no unanswered questions. The final judgment will set the record straight. And we'll be like, wow, true and just are your judgments, Lord. Thank you for making the wrong things right. All right, let me wrap up here. I remember 2016, I had been working for probably 2 years, diligently, very hard. Lord had stirred my heart about discipleship and disciple-making movements, and I'm like, I want to plant house churches, and I want to see these begin to multiply disciples of Jesus throughout our city. And I worked so hard. I would go out, like, very often into the harvest in the city and share the gospel with people, and it just seemed like I shared the gospel with hundreds of people, and hardly anybody got saved. And I worked and I worked and had almost nothing to show for it. By the way, you know one of the first persons I shared the gospel with in that season? It was Jennifer. And it didn't look like it was working very well for a while. But it looks good now. It looks good. So praise the Lord for that. But I remember it felt like I had nothing to show for it. And then finally, we had a few people I had led to the Lord. And I think we had a couple house churches that were about ready to start. And I'm like, finally, we're getting some traction. Now we're going to be able to see this thing really take off after 2 years of diligent labor. And in 1 week, every single potential house church we had about ready to start, they all fell through in the same week. Every single one of them. For one reason or another, you know, contacted me or contacted somebody I was training who was going to start the church. And they're like, oh, sorry, I don't want to meet with you anymore. Bye. And I remember I was training for a marathon. I was on one of the long training runs, which is very painful toward the end of those. And I remember I was on the, and you got to stay encouraged or else you just want to quit. And I'm out running. I'm on this long training run and I get a text message. And it was the final one. Hey, thanks for everything, but I don't want to meet anymore. I'm done. And they fell away from the Lord. And I remember I just felt this discouragement start to settle on me. And the question that started rising up within me immediately, I didn't have a chance to even answer it. It happened so fast, was 2 years of labor wasted. Wasted. Why did I, what was the point? You know, that was like starting to pop up in my mind, that question. But before it could really fully form, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he interrupted me. And he says, Jeff, he goes, why did you do it? And I told him, honestly, I'm like, Lord, because I love you. And you love people and you want them to be saved. And you told us to do this so that people could know you. And you died for them. And they need to hear about that. And I did it because I love you. And I care about them, and I want to see people come to the Lord. That's why I did it. And then right after that, he spoke so clear. He just goes, then it wasn't a waste. It wasn't a waste. Motives matter. I'll stand before the Lord, regardless of how successful I looked, when the heart is revealed, at least for that, he'll be like, well done. And he will praise me and honor me and reward me for that. He's like, because you love me, you did this. You labored, you sacrificed, even when it looked, you stirred yourself up to keep going when it looked like no one was responding. You just kept going. You kept forgiving and blessing. And he's like, it matters to me because it's an offering of worship. It's the motive of a heart. It really matters. This is Hebrews 11:6. Here's my conclusion, okay? I'm really wrapping up. I don't know how long I've been going. I'm sorry. Have I been long today? I don't feel long. Usually I feel it when I'm long, but I probably am. God knows the motive of my heart. Two scriptures. Without faith, it is impossible. Everybody say impossible. It is impossible to please God without faith. Because anyone who comes to him must believe. You must believe. What do I need to believe? That he exists. And what else? That he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Do you believe that he is a rewarder? Do you believe that? If you believe that he is a rewarder, and you know when does the reward come? Our rewards are partially received in this age and fully received in the age to come. I mean, we get little tokens now. We get little down payments. I love you. Rewards from the Lord. We get it now, like in very much in part. And that's not a discouragement. That's an encouragement. Because if you think like this is all our reward, you'll quit. You're like, honestly, it's not that great most of the time. It's not worth it, right? But if you're like, no, the scriptures say reward is coming. And I love this. Proverbs 22, verse 4. My baseball coach taught me this verse. He says, the reward for humility and the fear of the Lord. Reward for humility and for the fear of the Lord. What is it? If you choose to live a life of walking in humility and walking in the fear of the Lord, there are three specific rewards that Proverbs 22:4 promises you will receive. Riches, reward number one. God says, I will reward you with riches if you will choose to walk in humility and fear the Lord. And reward number two, honor. I'm gonna bestow honor on you if you choose to live a life of humility and fear of the Lord. Life, reward number three. I will give you abundant life that never ends if you choose to live in humility and the fear of the Lord. Now, if we think like all those rewards are received now, there's people right now who walk in amazing humility and fear of the Lord, and they're actually dishonored. Think of Jesus. Nobody walked in greater humility than Jesus or the fear of the Lord. And yet, how did he die? Your reward will be life. He was murdered at 33 years old and tortured before he was murdered. Honor. They literally spit in his face and mocked him as they tortured him leading up to his death and mocked him as he hung on the cross. Riches. Everything he had was stripped from him. He wasn't thought of as a wealthy, rich man. Yet he walked in perfect humility and fear of the Lord. The reality is the biblical, we have to have this eternal perspective. There are times God's going to bless you in this life with riches, or times he'll give you honor. There are times that he'll bless you with life. We have the Spirit dwelling inside of us, all those blessings that come, right? But that's only a down payment. There's way more to come of those rewards. And the reality is that Jesus, he's going to return to the earth. And he's in a physical body. God raised him from the dead. And he's going to live on this earth in a physical body forever. How's that for life? Not only that, he will be the most honored and celebrated human being on the entire planet. In every nation, in every language, they will sing his praises and give him honor forever. How's that for honor? Riches, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, all the resource of every nation on earth will be his to do as he pleases. How's that for riches? Somebody could come to him and be like, hey, God didn't keep his promise. You walked in humility and fear of the Lord, but you died poor, dishonored, and tortured. He could have looked right at him and said, it's not over yet. It's not over yet. Wait till the judgment. Wait till the judgment. Does that make sense? The rewards are real, and we have to believe that he's a rewarder. So that's the judgment of believers. Why don't you guys stand with me? I'm sorry if I went long there. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would rest on us as we read our Bibles over the next coming years. And every time we read one of these passages that talk about the judgment, our motives, our works, our words being evaluated, and the eternal rewards, I pray that you would stand out to us and that we would see it. And our hearts would be motivated with fresh faith to turn from sin and impure motives and self-seeking motives and lay our lives down for loving Jesus and serving people in your name. That we would receive the full reward that you have for us and you would call us great in the kingdom of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Have a good day, guys.